Thanks, Nathan, and good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. It's Marilyn Morning. Glad you're with us this morning. A reporter's notebook. We're going to take a look at two very important issues with four local journalists who are paying very close attention to them. First, in a little bit, we're going to get an update on the proposal to float bonds in an instrument called tax increment financing for the multi-billion dollar project to develop Port Covington as the headquarters for Under Armour plus residential and retail properties. But first, on Monday night, the Baltimore City Council voted to send back to committee a bill that would mandate raising the minimum wage to $15 in 2022. So to help us dissect how the City Council came to its decision and what this might mean moving forward, I'm joined this morning in Studio A by Luke Broadwater, who covers City Hall for Baltimore Sun, and Kenneth Burns, the Metro reporter here at WYPR. Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Luke, Mary Pat Clark said in your newspaper, the bill is not dead. It's resting comfortably in committee. So why did it end up back in committee? What happened?
Well, I think that's maybe a little bit of a positive spin on it. Really, they had seven votes. They needed eight votes. It's a 15-member council. She couldn't get the final vote. So bringing it back to committee is a way to preserve the bill and perhaps give it another chance at passing at a later date. Her stated reason for bringing it back was there was a problem with some language in the bill regarding disabled workers. There was an allegation from some in the blind community that the bill would inadvertently allow disabled workers to be paid less than the minimum wage, which wasn't Mary Pat Clark's intent. So they're working on that language. They're going to have a hearing on that. But what she has said is this: if they can't get a member of the city council to flip and get that eighth vote before December when a new council takes office, there's going to be several, in fact, probably many more progressive members of the council that are joining, and they're definitely going to have the votes to pass it in December. Six of the eight people who voted against the bill or were opposed to the bill are leaving the council, so it stands a very good chance of passing the council in the next term.
And Ken, does the bill have to be rewritten if it's not passed in December? I mean, I understand that if somehow January is a magic delineation, that if the bill hasn't passed sometime in December of 2016, they're going to have to start all over again and write a new bill?
That's exactly right. Much like Annapolis, once April and sine die or sine die hits, everything dies. Whatever didn't leave committee or what have you, you have to start from scratch at the next session. And this is the situation we're looking at come December when this council leaves office and the new council comes in.
They do come in December.
They come in December, yeah. And they'll have to do this process all over again. They have to rewrite the bill.
So let's talk about who voted against it. Council President Jack Young has said that he's for the $15 minimum wage, except he doesn't think, Luke, that now's the time to do it or that Baltimore should be the leader of the pack when it comes to other jurisdictions. Ricky Spector, who's leaving the council, she's retiring. Eric Costello, who is not leaving the council, he's up for re-election. Warren Branch, who's leaving. Helen Holton, who's leaving. Pete Welch, Jim Kraft, and Carl Stokes, all of whom are on their way out. What does that tell you about the depth of support for this bill?
Well, I think that when this new council comes in, it's going to be a very, very different approach. There are a couple things that could hold them up as this new, more progressive council comes in. And that is, one, who does Jack Young appoint to be the head of that labor committee now? Because that person would have a lot of power in whether the bill even gets a vote in committee, right? So if you really wanted to be Machiavellian about it, you could sort of stack that with an opponent. The other thing is, what does the new mayor do? Everyone expects Catherine Pugh to win the election. She's been very noncommittal. And does she try to strong-arm people into changing their votes? Does she introduce her own amendment? Does she veto it? Those are all questions she has not answered.
Luke Broadwater from the Baltimore Sun joined along with Kenny Burns, and I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. So, Kenny, Catherine Pugh has been kind of stunningly quiet about this bill. She hasn't said she's against it. She hasn't said she's for it, and neither has the sitting mayor, Stephanie Rawlings-Blake.
Well, the mayor said she would sign the bill, but much like the people you mentioned, she kind of want to see this raised on the state level. And Eric Costello expressed this much. In fact, last week he tried to introduce an amendment that would keep Baltimore from raising its minimum wage until Baltimore and Arundel counties join in. Mary Pat Clark, it should also be noted, she believes once Montgomery County passes their $15 an hour law that the state will come along.
All right, here's a woman named Ricara Jones talking about the bill and what she thinks is going to happen ultimately.
It had to go back to committee because it's not a complete bill. And we want to make sure, like everyone else, that a complete bill goes forward for the workers of Baltimore City. So we know it's not over. We just look at it as a little bit of a delay.
Union leader Ricara Jones from Union 1199. That's the service employees union. Mm-hmm. So Luke, I mean, it does sound like this bill is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Why do you think it has to be a matter of time? I mean, one vote seems a pretty slim margin. Why wasn't Mary Pat Clark able to get this done now?
Well, I think there are really deep philosophical differences there and on whether this is a good bill. To Mary Pat and the proponents of the bill, they see this as something that would raise wages for 90,000 Baltimoreans, that gives them more money in their pockets, that gives them more spending power and would help the Baltimore economy. The opponents think of it as like an unmitigated disaster for the city. They point to surveys of businesses that show some would leave town, some would lay off people. They point to analysis by the city's finance department that shows it would cost the economy millions of dollars every year. So if you're an opponent of this, you really believe it's a bad bill. And so I think there are some committed people there. And also there are just some followers on the council that are going to follow Jack Young's lead pretty much no matter what.
And the other concern is the city has high taxes, high income tax, high property tax, and the bottle tax. Jack Young said Monday night, he accused us of going to the county to buy some beverages because of the bottle tax.
Yeah, and there's a fee for cell phones in the city. I mean, there are fees that you encounter in the city. The water bill is going to go up by some estimates as much as 33% over the next few years. I mean, the current minimum wage is $8.75 an hour. That just kicked in. It was just raised a little bit, and it's a state bill. Working 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, that's $18,200 a year. At $15 an hour, the annual income is about $31,200 a year. So it's very, very different. I mean, this is a significant difference. But I suppose, Luke, this sort of depends on which study you believe. I mean, you've got businesses saying this would be the worst thing in the world. You've got other economists and business people saying, you know, this puts money in people's pockets so they can spend money at our businesses.
Yeah, it's very interesting how people look at the economic analysis that fits their ideology already. When we were talking with Jack Young after the vote the other day, he had almost an encyclopedic knowledge of businesses that were right by the county line, every fast food restaurant, every liquor store. And he really believes that these shoppers would go elsewhere and hurt local business.
Right. Here's what Jack Young had to say on Monday night.
It puts us at a disadvantage. We already have the highest property tax in the state. And think about that. We have the highest property tax in the state, and then you want us to be at $15. Then we have the bottle tax. It just won't work. And that's just a statewide $15 minimum wage.
And that's just what you were saying, Kenny. I mean, as Luke said, it's estimated about 90,000 people would be positively affected by this. About 23% of workers in Maryland now receive public assistance, even if they are working full time. So again, when we talk about the cost to the body public, the body politic, there is a social services cost because a lot of these folks who are working for minimum wage for Walmart or McDonald's or Target are still being subsidized to a certain degree.
And a lot of these companies that you mentioned, they've long had issues about how much they pay their wages. Walmart in particular, going back to at least a decade. And I know from personal experience that Walmart had done a survey to try to bring those wages up to par, but they took out the union jobs like Safeway and Giant to see what is the real wage that they should be paying workers in a typical area.
Mm-hmm. Luke Broadwater, when it comes to this new crop of people who are expected to win in a heavily Democratic city and become a very new, you know, comprise a very new city council. I mean, this is going to be, the majority of the members are going to be new. That means they're going to be legislative rookies. I mean, just the, you know, when we talk about Machiavellian, strategies and stuff, those are going to be fairly new to these new legislators. many of the current people who voted against the bill said during the campaign that they would support a $15 minimum wage. Do we think that John Bullock, you know, Christopher Burnett, Zeke Cohen, Ryan Dorsey, Shannon Snead, that crowd is in fact going to support a $15 minimum wage?
I think those five are definite yes votes. The reason I think that is, one, they do have very firm sort of, pro-populist or pro-public ideologies. And on the second is they do have union support, like the unions help them with their campaigns. And so they will feel, I think, that they owe something to the unions. The people who are in office now who said yes and then voted no, Carl Stokes, who simply answered yes on a questionnaire and then was opposed, Jack Young and Eric Costello both said yes, but with qualifications. So you could see that in their questionnaires that they're saying yes, but they really don't necessarily believe yes.
Yeah, Kenny, we just got a few seconds left, but is there any talk of a statewide minimum wage at $15 an hour? There's obviously lots of talk on it on the presidential level and in the presidential campaign, but any talk here in Maryland?
I've heard minimal talk, but nothing to that pops out right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we will keep talking about it. If they're not going to, we will at least. And this is something we will continue to cover. But I appreciate both you guys being here this morning and for your very, very fine reporting on this issue. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Luke Broadwater covers City Hall for the Baltimore Sun. Kenneth Burns covers all things Baltimore for WIPR. We've got a link to the reporting of both of these fine gentlemen on our website. Come on over to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up after a break for the news, the other big issue that has been occupying the minds of the Baltimore City Council this summer, the proposed development at Port Covington. Melody Simmons of the Baltimore Business Journal and Natalie Sherman of the Baltimore Sun join me to parse out the details of this very large and very complicated project. Here's Nathan. Stay with us.